Okay, Boker Tov, everybody, and welcome to our really our first Yom Iyun on Rosh Hashanah. And it's a pleasure to see everybody. We have Baruch Hashem. We have 8 speakers this morning, 4 in Israel and 4 who live on this side of the Atlantic, which I think is very nice because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the 2 holidays that unite us. They're normally on Yontif. You know, Israel and Chutz Laaretz are very different, but Rosh Hashanah, it's 2 days in Israel, 1 day Yom Kippur everywhere, even here. So maybe that's a sign that I think this is the most important prayer and the most important thing we have to look for and pray for this year. I think for Rosh Hashanah is the unity of the Jewish people. We all know that there's a lot of fractures, more of those than they've been in recent years. And let us hope that we can have the leadership and all of us to bring the people all together. I also want to begin 2 things I just want to mention, like I did last night, the tragic news in Morocco, and our prayers are with the people in Morocco. Mi barash, as we say, unatana tokev, who goes with noise, and you never know, and it reminds us of the fleeting nature of life, and to take advantage of every moment. So let's hope that those who are injured are recovered, and the death toll doesn't rise. So, and then, of course, I want to begin by thanking our sponsors of today's Yom Iyun. Really 2 people who are very close to Torah in Motion, one who I've known for quite a while, and one who I've only met through Zoom, and we have met, actually, but we met since we started going online. We're starting by Rabbi Rafal and Sharon E. Pearl Alman, in loving memory of their son, Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu Alman, Harav Shmuel Eliyahu ben Harav Rafal, whose Yortzeit is on the 26th of Elul. Tragically, he passed away at the age of 23. A dear son, husband, and father, a dedicated Rebbe, and a tireless member of Hatzalah, Yehu Zichro Baruch. Should have good things to come together for. And I also want to thank, here in Toronto, Nolin and David Moretzky, Dr. David Moretzky, in honor and loving memory of their parents, Rina and Shim Moretzky, and Zelma and Zach Epstein. And they're actually in New York now celebrating the birth of a grandson. So I want to wish them mazel tov, and we should all have many happy occasions to come together throughout this year and throughout many, many years. Okay, so I'm going to talk, I guess, for the next 27 minutes on what are we celebrating on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is a very strange holiday, because the comparison between how it's presented in the Torah and how we celebrate it, it's very hard to know. There is none. The Torah basically tells us almost nothing. Rosh Hashanah is mentioned only twice in the Torah. It's the least mentioned holiday in the Torah, and there's no reason. We have no idea why it's a holiday. We're told it's a Yom Teruah, it's a day of blowing, or a Zichron Teruah. We'll get to that in a few minutes, or to remember the blowing. We call it a Mikra Kodesh, it's a Yontif. We bring special sacrifices like we do on all the Yom Tovim, but we really have no idea why. Mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but the simple reason, really, that Rosh Hashanah is a holiday is because it's the 7th month. And Judaism actually invented the importance of the number 7. We understand why a lunar cycle a month is 29 and a half days, 29 or 30 days, because that's how long it takes the moon to revolve around the earth. We understand why a year is 365, whatever, and a quarter days, 365 days, because that's how long it takes for the earth to revolve around the sun. But there's no reason a week has to be 7 days. I think, you know, I don't know that we think about this enough. Like, there's absolutely no reason. All I can say is thank God the secular week is 7 days. Can you imagine if the week in the world was 8 days and you had to worry about Shabbos every 7th day? It would be insane. Now, this sounds kind of funny, but Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, in his wonderful introduction to the Siddur, notes that in ancient Mesopotamia, they worked by a system of 6. That so you have, which we still have today, 60 seconds and a minute, and 60 minutes in an hour, and 360 degrees in a circle. And that was how the ancient world worked. And of course, the revolution of Judaism is the number of 7. 6 represented nature, the cycles of time and space. And Judaism came along to say that God is above time and space, and therefore 7 becomes a special number where we recognize the mastery of God. So on the 7th day of the week, we recognize that God is the ultimate creator. On the 7th year, we represent, we can't even work our land. And seven times 7 years in the Yovel year, we recognize we can't even own our land. Forget working our land. We got to give our land back and we can't even have any slaves. And then we get, so therefore the seventh month is quote unquote missing. And, so that's probably the simple reason in the Chumash that Rosh Hashanah becomes the seventh month. And of course, that is why the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which is four chapters long, at least half of the Mishnah deals with the sanctification of the new moon. It's about the laws of Rosh Chodesh, linking Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. So that would probably be, that's perhaps the biblical or the original, reason. Now, it's also, Rosh Hashanah, of course, is the only holiday on Rosh Chodesh. That's something we don't talk about. Matter of fact, we talk about how we don't talk about it. Tiku b'chodesh, b'chodesh shofar, b'kesa liyom chagenu. We blow the shofar b'kesa when it's hidden. That's how the rabbis interpreted. We don't want to mention Rosh Chodesh. Why not? What's wrong with Rosh Chodesh? I like Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a holiday. All the women should like Rosh Chodesh. It's somehow designated as a woman's holiday, whatever that means. But why is Rosh Chodesh absent on Rosh Hashanah? At least, so anybody want to throw out in chat box or unmute themselves? Okay.
It is the day of coronation of Hashem.
I understand. So why not mention Rosh Chodesh? God is the master of the world. He created the sun and the moon, and the moon is Rosh Chodesh. That's God's creation.
He created it. He created that. So we celebrate him.
So I think but we don't mention Rosh Chodesh. So I think the answer, and this I think gets into the theme of basically Malchiyot. We know that, in the opening chapter of the Torah, God created Shnei HaMa'orot HaGdolim, the two great luminaries. And then it says HaMa'or HaGadol, the big luminary in the day, and HaMa'or HaKatan, the small luminary in the night. And that famous Midrash, the verse hints to it, the verse, it contradicts itself. Two great luminaries, the great and the small. What do you mean? We just said two great, they're equal. So that's the rabbis pick up on this and they tell us the moon complained. You can't have two kings, can't have two CEOs of a company, can only have one person. The buck stops here. And, the moon said there can't be. So God said, okay, I'll make you smaller and you'll just be a reflection of the moon. We don't have to interpret this midrash in a literal sense, but the moon represents the denial of God's authority on the world and the notion of jealousy. And therefore, we don't want to mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah is the time we acknowledge that God is the king. We sort of go against the moon to acknowledge that God is the Melech al Kol Haaretz. And of course, it's not a coincidence that the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people, the place where Rashi says the Torah shouldn't start in Bereishit number one, chapter one, the Torah should start in Shmot 12 with the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people. And that's the mitzvah to sanctify the new moon. And I don't think that's at all a coincidence. In other words, there are two stories of creation, which we'll also get. There's the creation of the world and the creation of the Jewish people. What are we wasting our time with the creation of the world? And we should get right to the notion of how the Jewish people were created. But we have to sanctify the moon. We have to repair the sin of the moon and recognize what's the first obligation of a Jew. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, or the Rambam says the first thing to know there's a God in the world. So Rosh Hashanah, to know there's a God in the world. That's and therefore the moon cannot be mentioned. It's also interesting that mitzvah to sanctify the new moon was given to Moshe and Aaron jointly. 99% of the mitzvot, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. But this one is Moshe and Aaron, and I maybe this is too homiletic, but I still think it's worthwhile that Moshe and Aaron, and Rashi often quotes, why does the Torah sometimes mention Moshe and Aaron? They're equal. Moshe, Aaron, they're two. They work together. They prove that the moon is wrong. In other words, they prove that two great people can work together. The moon said, I can't work with the sun. But Moshe and Aaron prove that two great people don't have to be jealous of each other. Just not simple. Believe me, it's not just a simple thing. And they can work together, for the benefit of the Jewish people. So perhaps that's the first idea. Rosh Hashanah is on the seventh month. So seven is important. Seven is the recognition of God, the Jewish invention of that notion. And it's also on Rosh Chodesh. And, it's coming to rectify, so to speak, the, original sin of creation, the creation of the moon. Okay, let's go a little bit further. So we Rosh Hashanah is mentioned twice. The first time Rosh Hashanah is mentioned, just let me share my screen for half a minute, just so we can see inside. So very little. The Torah really tells us basically nothing. The Torah tells us that Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. This is Vayikra 23. Daber. This is the first time that all the biblical holidays are mentioned the one time. Up until this point, we've had the Shalosh Regalim be mentioned, Yom Kippur be mentioned, obviously Pesach, but this is the first time the Torah collects all the laws of the holidays and puts them all together. The Berab and Israel and more Bachodesh Ashvi'i Bechat Lachodesh on the first day of the seventh month, Yelachem Shabbaton, be it day of rest, Zichron Kodesh, Zichron Shrua Mikra Kodesh. Should be a Zichron Shrua. So, and of course, and let me just find it here. When we go in Bamidbar, the only other time Rosh Hashanah is mentioned, Ubachodesh Hashvi Bechat Lachodesh, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, Komalachar Vada Lotus. So it's a slightly different formulation. Yom Shrua Yelachem. It should be a Yom Shrua, not a Zichron Shrua, but rather it should be a Yom Shrua. What's the difference between a Zichron Shrua and a Yom Shrua? Anybody? So, okay. So, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, very applicable this year, this is why we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat. Zichron Shrua means we remember. You don't have to remember something. Like the Ramban says, the mitzvah, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, is fulfilled on Monday, on Sunday. We don't have days of the week. Hayom Yom Rishon BaShabbat. Every morning at the end of Davening, when we say Hayom Yom Rishon BaShabbat, Hayom Yom Sheni BaShabbat, Hayom Yom Shlishi BaShabbat, that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho. When you experience the Shabbat, you don't have to remember it. You're experiencing it. It's true, the rabbis say it also means to make Kiddush, Zachrei Olayayin. That's one interpretation. But this other idea, you don't have to remember something when you're going through it. You have to remember it when you don't do it. So we have to remember the Shabbat every day of the week. So we have to have a Zichron Shrua. Means we don't blow the Shrua. We don't have a Shrua. So the Yerushalmi says, therefore, what's the difference? So when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, we don't blow the shofar, as we all know. And when Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall on Shabbat, we do blow the shofar. And remember, there's only one day Rosh Hashanah, according to the Torah. Like, in other words, that's an interesting historical question. Was there ever a time that they never blew shofar? In other words, what came first? The decree, the way we do it, the decree not to blow shofar, whatever, or the second day of Yom Tov? Why don't we blow shofar? In other words, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, not blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a biblical notion. We assume the Babylonian Talmud rejects that. The Babylonian Talmud assumes it's a rabbinic prohibition. We're afraid we may carry. You don't have time to get into all of this. But why wouldn't you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So that's a fascinating question. I'll just very briefly mention, apparently, the notion of shofar and Shabbat are connected, and Shabbat does what shofar does in a better way. In other words, if Rosh Hashanah is about recognizing God's kingdom of the world, not being like the moon, it's seven. Seven is an acknowledgement of God, God being beyond nature. So that notion we have on Rosh Hashanah, but when it's on Shabbos, I have it every week. I don't need it on Rosh Hashanah, perhaps. But anyways, the Torah says Zichron Shrua. The Bavli has to interpret Zichron in a different way, because the Bavli assumes you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos too. Just for technical reasons, we're afraid you may carry the shofar. We don't allow you to blow the shofar. So what's Zichron? So Rashi already says Zichronot, that Malchiot Zichronot and Zichronot and Shofarot, Zichron Shrua are Zichronot and Shofarot. And some interpret that it's a biblical mitzvah. Normally, davening is for sure the words of everybody agrees, even the Rambam, who says that one has to pray every day, agrees that the actual words of prayer are rabbinic. But here it could be Zichronot and Shofarot, at least, are a biblical nature. Okay. I was looking through the commentary. So one of the commentators pointed out, very interesting, it should be Zichron Shura. So where else do we have a notion of Zichron? So he says like this, Vayalachem l'zikaron. This is talking about on Pesach. And he wants to link that the notion of the Zichron Shrua of Rosh Hashanah is linked to the Yom HaZikaron, or what we call Yom HaZikaron Rosh Hashanah, but it's the Zikaron, the Mantis Guru, the notion of memory is very, very, like prevalent. Vayalakam HaZikaron on Pesach. And we know, of course, Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, these are the two poles of the year, or the first month and the seventh month. And, basically, we're linking the Zikaron, the remembering of Rosh Hashanah, remembering on Pesach. What's the difference? What's the difference? So the fundamental difference is that Pesach is a Jewish particularistic holiday. A non-Jew is not allowed to participate, is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Pesach is the formation of the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah is the idea of nature, is the creation of the world. That's how we interpret Rosh Hashanah, all our prayers. It's the creation of the world. It's not a Jewish themed holiday. It's a very, universal themed holiday. And, the two are connected. You know, there's a famous debate. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar argue, when was the world created? So it's very strange, right? Rabbi Elazar says the world was created in Tishrei. And Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan. So what does that mean? You have Rosh Hashanah in Nisan? That's not what it means. I don't care when the world was created. The Torah says we blow the shofar on the seventh day, on the first day of the seventh month. It doesn't matter when the world was created. You understand? Because half the opinions in the Talmud is the world was created on Nisan. Jewish liturgy picked up this idea that the world is created and Tishrei and made it a central theme of Rosh Hashanah. But it's not at all a central theme in the Chumash at all. So what did Rabbi Yeshua do? Did Rabbi Yeshua not say Hayom Harat Olam? I don't know. He probably didn't say Hayom Harat Olam. They probably didn't have it in the Machzor yet. I don't really know, but it's interesting. But of course, this is all very nice and technical. What's the broader idea here? To have a debate when the world was created it makes no sense. First of all, when was the world created? When the world was created, there was no time because the sun and the moon weren't created yet. So the whole notion doesn't make sense. Secondly, it's a ridiculous debate. No one was there. Nobody knows. Who cares? Like, what do you mean, when was the world created? Oh, so I'm going to bring proof in Tishrei. What are we talking about? So obviously there's something much deeper here. And it seems that they're arguing about what's the primary function of the Jew. Is the Jew first and foremost a human being, part of the natural world, or is the Jew first and foremost a Jew? What comes first? What, our Judaism, worrying about our particularistic ideas, or no, that the Jew is first and foremost worrying about world issues, and only later, once we do that, we become Jewish. Rabbi Elazar says the world was created in Tishrei. God created the entire world, Jew, non-Jew. The first 11 chapters of the Torah, there are no Jews. Abram doesn't come till generation 20. The first part of the Torah tells us about that because we're descendants of Adam. The Tzelem Elohim doesn't begin with Abraham. The Tzelem Elohim begins with Adam. So Rav Elazar says the world was created in Tishrei. The goal of the world, Jews and non-Jews, is to work together to make the world a better place. Rav Yeshua says no. Rav Yeshua says, Nisan, yeah, the world, there are 7 billion other people who can worry about the world. There are 12 million of us. We have to worry on the Jewish people. It's not our problem to worry about this problem, that problem. We got to worry about what's going on in the Jewish people. That's what I think they're arguing about. And of course, Jewish history takes the position of Rabbi Eliezer that the world was created in Tishrei means our primary aspect is to develop our humanity. And Judaism is a layer above our, all human beings have to keep the 7 basic mitzvot. All human beings have to be decent people. Once we do that, then we can move on to what it means to be a Jew. So I think that is perhaps what the machloket is when the world was created. It doesn't make sense when the world was created, Tishrei Nisan. I do have one small question on this and maybe somebody can give me the answer. There is one time that our tradition accepts the view that the world was created in Nisan. It's very, you know, we Jews, we do things that contradict each other all the time. So every Rosh Hashanah, we assume the world was created on Tishrei. We have a very universalistic theme. When is the one time we think the world was created in Nisan? That's every 28 years. Every 28 years, the least said bracha, when we make the bracha on the sun, right, when the sun was in the original point of creation, we make that on the 4th of Nisan. I right? Isn't that when we make it? The fourth day of Nisan, because the word was created in Nisan and 4 days later. I know we don't remember this every 28 years. When was the last one? I forget. Believe me, before the next one, there'll be 500 books coming out on this one bracha of Birchat Hachama. That's very interesting. For that bracha on the sun, I don't know if it's related to our relationship to the sun, not to make it. I don't know what it is, but that's the one time we say the world was created in the sun. Okay. So that's, we've discussed Bachodesh Hashvi'i. We've discussed Rosh Chodesh. We've discussed, creation of the world. We've discussed Zicharon to remember. Now I want to discuss trua. So what does trua mean? What does trua mean? So I don't know what trua means. I mean, I know trua means to blow, but trua appears two other times in the Chumash. And if we take a look at those times, we'll get an indication, I think, what Rosh Hashanah is all about. When are the other two times that trua appears in the Torah?
In case of milchama,
and by war, we'll get there in a moment, correct? In a time of, it's not only, but yes, primarily in a time of war, correct? When else?
Moving the machanot.
Correct. That's the same place. The war and the machanot, we'll get there, Harold. Thank you very much. We'll get there in a moment. That's those two kim are next to each other, correct? And, what's the other place?
The other Yovel.
The Yovel. Very good. Very good. So let's take a look. So it's very interesting. We see two things by the Yovel. We'll get there in 1 minute. Okay, the Yovel, seven, of course, seven. But Svartalacha Sheva Shaptot Shanim, 7 years, seven times, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pamim. And after seven, you see how many times in one verse, seven. That doesn't have to say it, seven. And we know how to multiply. Seven times seven is 49. Good. Bavarta shofar trua. So this is the first time we hear of the word, you know, shofar. Maybe I blow a chatzot rot. Why do I have to blow? Maybe I blow a trumpet, a saxophone. Well, where's I blow a shofar? So this is the only time, this the Torah tells us you blow a shofar trua. Bachodesh hashvi'i. Also interesting. Besor lechodesh. But we blow it on the 10th of the month on Yom HaKippur. Now, the rabbis derive from here, from this verse, that we have to havarta shofar trua. Havarta, you have to have a tekiyah, avir, in other words, to pass through. The trua has to pass through the tekiyot. You have a tekiyah on the one side of the trua and the tekiyah in the middle. A trua, by the way, the way we define trua can either be a shvarim trua or a trua. It doesn't just mean those, there's a debate what it means, but the trua is that middle broken sound. So we have to have a tekiyah before. So right away, our rabbis are linking because they see we don't know what Rosh Hashanah is about, but we see trua. We see trua by Yovel. So this is how we know we have to blow the shofar. Otherwise, I don't know. It's a shofar and we blow trua. Now it's on Yom Kippur. It's on Yom Kippur. So, you see already, now you already see already, Rosh Hashanah is connected to Yom Kippur. This is the origins of what we call the Aseret Yimei Tshuva. Like, cause, in the Chumash, in Parsha Emor, right, when we go to Emor, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur doesn't say you blow the shofar. It's only on the 50th year, only in the Yovel year. And that, of course, the link between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is made explicit. Where's the one time in Tanakh that the word Rosh Hashanah is mentioned? Anybody? So it's only once. You've noticed it's Zichron Shura, Yom Shura. There's nothing about Rosh Hashanah. Okay? One time Rosh Hashanah is mentioned. Sefer Yecheskel, chapter 40. Beidvar Hashem Eloi. It's talking in Tebet. Okay. It says, I'm sorry. I got the wrong chapter. It's chapter 40. Just give me 1 second. Why it's here? Chapter 40. Okay. I knew that didn't sound right. Bechodesh Asiri. 37. It is the only time in Tanakh, as far as I know, and I'm that the words Rosh Hashanah appear in the Bible and anywhere in Tanakh, and they appear right here. Besrim v'chamei shana legaloteinu, on the 25th year of our exile, the first exile from 586, Rosh Hashanah be'esor lachodesh. Rosh Hashanah is on the 10th of the month. Rav says, this is unbelievable. So the one time that Rosh Hashanah is mentioned in Tanakh, Rosh Hashanah is actually Yom Kippur. So right again, so now we see already the rabbi, what's going on, Rosh Hashanah? We don't know anything. It's a Zikron Trua. Okay, Trua. Trua brings us to Yovel. Yovel, but Yovel's on Yom Kippur. Yovel's not, we blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, not really on Rosh Hashanah. And then the term Rosh Hashanah, of course, appears on only about Yom Kippur. Clearly, the rabbis in transforming Yom HaZikaron or Zikron Trua to Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is linking Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So let me very quickly, I see time is running, quickly. So, this is probably the connection between Aseret Yimei Tshuva. Now, I'll say two things. One idea that I always love to quote, this comes from a student of mine in chat from many years ago when I said, in class, what's Aseret Yimei Tshuva? This is a grade 10 class. So what, so some kid says, Aseret Yimei Tshuva, the 10 days of answering. A tshuva is an answer. So that was like, whoa, that's not okay. You got the wrong tshuva. Man, unbelievable. So I said, instinctively, I said, okay, what's the question? 10 days of answering. What's the question? I didn't know what I was talking about. But when she said it's the 10 days of answering, Aseret Yimei Tshuva, I said, it's okay. What's Jeopardy? Let's play Jeopardy. And then I said, ah, I know a question. What question do we answer? What's the first question in the Torah? Ayeka, where are you? This is God's question to man in Gan Eden. When God, after they eat from the fruit, God says, he appears, where are you? Ayeka. It hit me. That's what Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is all about. The Aseret Yimei Tshuva is all about answering the question, Ayeka, where are you? I thought, and this is what our sages say you learn the most from our students. In all my life, never in a million years would I have come up with this idea. But I think that, Ayeka, where are you? That's what Aseret Yimei Tshuva, and you see already in Tanakh, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are linked. I will add very quickly, Yovel. What's Yovel all about? Yovel is all about the world belongs to God. This is what, it's so much I have to give up my land. I can't lord over anybody. I have to free all my slaves. So that's clearly what Rosh Hashanah is about. This is the Malchiyot of Rosh Hashanah. Now, we mentioned the Truas mentioned by time of war and by moving of the camp. So that's in Bamidbar. Bamidbar Yud. So the Torah tells us, and the Torah is very explicit. The Torah tells us like this. Where are we going here? It says, yeah. Kitavo milchama. Okay. Ubakil et am. You don't blow a truah. When you gather the people, you only blow a tekiah. When you're moving, takatem betruah benasu hamachanot. You blow the truah and the people move. But when you gather together, you only do a tekiah. But when there's a milchama, you have to, baharayotem, you do a trua. The Netziv basically explains the difference between a tekiah and a trua. A tekiah is a positive sound, a trua is a negative sound. A tekiah is a upbeat, confident, unbroken sound. A trua is crying. So what our sages understand. Rosh Hashanah, the theme of Rosh Hashanah, there's a little bit of a brokenness. It's a Yom Hadin, which is a wonderful thing. That God judges us is actually beautiful. If we're not important, we don't judge, right? The fact that God judges us, which is a little bit scary, for Rosh Hashanah Yikatevun is actually a great blessing. It's actually something to greatly to come and celebrate that we're important enough to God to judge. We have to have, so it's a trua, but it's a little bit nervousness, but we have to have the kia on either side, because we have to be confident that our trua, the negative, will be surrounded by all the positive. And that's really, so Rosh Hashanah is not a negative holiday, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch rules that when you finish davening Rosh Hashanah, you have to go home, you have to have a full meal. And I'll end in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. The only other time Rosh Hashanah is mentioned in Tanakh is in Ezra and Nehemiah, where, of course, it doesn't say the word Rosh Hashanah, but this is when the Jewish people have come back at the second temple. They're like, it's not good. The Jewish people are really, where are we going here? The Jewish people are very assimilated. They don't know what's flying. They don't know anything. And Ezra and Nehemiah gather the people all together and they make a new covenant with the people. And, the Torah tells us, the Torah, the Sefer Nehemiah, by Stu Kol Am, everybody gathered in the streets, the known the major streets, the square, And this was on Yom Echad B'Chodesh Hashvi, on the first day of the seventh month. And Ezra read what's in the Torah. He told them what's in the Torah. And the people were all nervous. They didn't know what's going on. And then they tell them, no, Vayikru B'Sefer Torah Elohim, if a Rash, they read. And they tell the people, L'chu Ichlu Mashmanim Ushtu Mamtanim, go home and eat. Go home and party. Send gifts to your friends. Ki Kadosh Yom L'Adonenu, because it's a happy day. Ki Chedar Hashem. So I think this is the theme that Torah Tanakh leads us with. Rosh Hashanah is a very happy day, a joyous day. It's a day that Jewish people come together to reestablish the covenant with God. And it's, so that's what Rosh Hashanah has a lot to celebrate. The Torah is very vague about it, but if you work through, it's the Yom HaZikaron. It's the day we remember, we link into creation. We link into the notion of seven and God's mastery of the world. We blow a little bit nervousness, but we're confident that the blowing will be good. To Kiyas, we're surrounded. And this all happens. It's what I started with, the importance of the unity of the Jewish people. And that's what Ezra and Nehemiah are teaching us. The way Rosh Hashanah can become a day of celebration is we all gather all together. We could gather, send gifts one to another, and let us hope that through that we'll become a wonderful year. We should all be blessed with a Shana Tova, and a year that we recognize God, and through the recognition of God, we recognize the value of all human beings who we interact with, because the universal aspect of Rosh Hashanah. Okay.